It's practically a cliche. Midwesterner moves to the Big Apple after hailing a couple of cabs going in the wrong direction, falls in love. Catherine Lanfair, who was not only a Minnesotan but a public radio Minnesotan, a special breed, moved to Manhattan on Leap Day 2004 to begin a job as Al Franken's co-host on Air America. Her book of essays called Leap Days begins in New York and explores a dozen other places: marriage, divorce, parenthood, food, religion, and reinventing your life in middle age. If you have questions for her, our number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Our email address is talk@npr.org. And Catherine Lanfair joins us now from our bureau in New York. Hey, nice to have you on the program.
I'm thrilled to talk to you, Neil.
And let's get this out of the way first. This is not a kiss and tell about Al Franken or Air America, which actually get very little space in the book. But I'm sure it didn't escape your notice that Air America filed for bankruptcy a couple of days ago.
No, it did not escape my notice. It also, frankly, didn't surprise me. One of the sadnesses to me is that there are people there who are putting their heart and soul into that enterprise, and the history of mismanagement has been fairly spectacular.
And that's the reason you give in the book for your departure?
Not so much the mismanagement as I don't think it was a good fit for me. As I say in the book, if my colleagues were ideological evangelicals, I was more an acolyte of mainstream media.
Partly as a result of your training. I mean, we think of you as a broadcaster, but in fact, you write a lot about your beginnings in journalism in the newspaper business.
That's right. That's right. I have ink running in my veins, as they say. Although I have to tell you that along with advancing past the gateways of middle age, I look back on my training. I look back on the coming of age I had in a newsroom, and I might as well have gotten there by horse and buggy. Journalism has changed so much. I talk to college students, and I swear I could tell them that I scratched out my first, you know, cop shorts with a quill pen, and they would just nod their head.
Mm-hmm. There was one, the cast of characters would fill a production of the front page, but there's one woman in particular who I found particularly interesting, a woman with whom you initially had a few questions because she was covering women's issues.
Oh, now I'm trying to...
This was a woman who, during the Second World War, covered everything
right.
at that newspaper.
Right,
and by
right.
the time you got there, had been relegated again to women's issues.
Right. Well, actually, it wasn't even given the fig leaf of women's issues. As she was covering the society, in fact, of my hometown, Moline, Illinois, farm implement capital of the world. But she, you know, opened my eyes to the history of women who had gone before me. You know, if you're a woman in a newsroom these days, you have a long line of sisters to thank who really hung in there when it was hard to be a woman in a newsroom. I was the first Metro front section female columnist at the vaunted St. Paul Pioneer Press, and that was in the end of the 20th century.
Hmm. Took a long time.
Yeah, it did.
Mm-hmm. How did you decide to go back to writing then? You're in New York. You've got this fabulous rent to pay. the cost of living is so low in that city.
Yes.
And you take another leap at leaving Air America and for what looked like an occasionally regular paycheck and go on and start writing for a living.
I have always wanted to write a book. And it wasn't. I interviewed Natalie Goldberg once, who wrote Writing Down the Bones, and she said that some authors don't find their voice until their throat has been cut, until, in fact, something so traumatic has happened to them that they can't help but sit down and write. And frankly, that's what happened to me when I moved to New York. I so uprooted myself that I suddenly, when I really knew less than five people when I moved to New York, which gave me a lot of alone time and a lot of time to explore the city. And as I would walk around, if you're a storyteller, New York is it, man. All you have to do, I call it dinner and a show. You buy a hot dog, you stand on a corner, and you can watch what goes on around you forever. And I would go home every night and start writing. And I felt compelled to talk about this change in my life, because even though the specific changes for me were particular to me, the truth is transformation is universal. Mm. I believe that. And we all, I think, want that one more chance to transform.
We apologize. There were a couple of callers waiting to talk to you. We had a glitch with our phone system. I'm sure this never happened in Minnesota, and lost them. And so we're getting some more callers up. And in fact, we have one here. This is let's talk with Dave in Menominee.
Hi.
Hi.
You know, being a, well, free-thinking liberal, most of the people that I know that are liberal people like to hear both sides of the story. They like to hear, you know, the wide range compared to, say, a conservative right-wing talk show where you just get to hear what you believe and reinforce that feeling. Do you think that Air America maybe just wasn't getting the listenership, because most liberal people do want all of the information, not just what it reinforces their beliefs?
Well, I'll let me put it to you this way, because I tend to want to stray away from labels like liberal or conservative. What I can tell you, and you should also bear in mind, I haven't worked at Air America for a year now, so I'm not speaking with really any sort of authority. But having said that, and I toured the country with Al, and I can tell you that there were people very, very, very hungry for the particular message that Air America was putting out. Hmm. And while there might be fumbles in the boardroom, as it were, I have to tell you that they found their market and they found their audience. And I think that if they have the right support, I mean, they've already, I think, established what's been called progressive radio as something that will stick around. And you can see that, in fact, with the fact that, you know, Clear Channel and other conglomerates are pushing that sort of those voices forward.
And now if they could only find a manager or two, that'd be pretty good.
I'm stepping away from that one.
Dave, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go now to Amanda. Amanda calling us from St. Louis.
Hi. Yeah, I have a very similar story. I'm a Plain Jane, Kansas farm girl. I set off for the city. I live in St. Louis now, and after 10, almost 15 years, I'm going back to school, and I'm finding that it's just a completely different world. I have classes where some of my assignments are required to be online, and I'm working almost full-time. How does anyone do it in this day and age? Financially, it's the hardest thing I've ever done.
But aren't you also finding that reinvention is invigorating?
It really is. And I think that's the one thing that keeps me going, knowing that this is something that, as hard as it is now, it's something that once I'm through it, I can be more proud of this than anything else.
Well, good luck to you and good for you.
I'm dragging my husband along with me, the poor guy.
You know, you're very good with the callers, Catherine. You might want to consider this. Anyway, Amanda, thanks very much for the call. I wanted to tell us a little bit about your life in New York. There's a moment, I think it's about a year after you've moved there, mm-hmm. and you decide to get on a bus and go all of the way around Manhattan Island.
It was for my year anniversary of living in New York. I had this deep-seated desire to see what it would be like to travel the island from stem to stern. And I even tried to get some people to go along with me. And oddly enough, no one wanted to go on that sort of transit adventure in New York. But I made my way down to, you know, the end of Battery Park. You know, you could see the Statue of Liberty, and I started mm-hmm. getting on buses. And the first bus I got on, I was trying to figure it out by myself. And finally, when I stepped off to get on the next bus, I told the bus driver what I wanted to do. And he looked at me and he said, "Well, you should have told me in the first place." And I love the fact that New Yorkers are so in your face. And so he gave me, you know, this long list of instructions of what to do. And then I just threw it out the window, and I would simply walk up to buses and, you know, look up at them with my face, my wonderful Midwestern face, as open as a bread pan, I like to say. and I'd say to them, "I'm trying to go from stem to stern, from tip to tip of the island." And to a man, every bus driver would just start laughing and then would wave me on and say, "Sit by me." And I made it all the way up, you know, to the Bronx. It was so lovely. It was a beautiful February day. The people watching was divine. And I like to think of it as one of the ways that I took possession of my new home. And my eyes could travel the landscape and own it all.
And rediscovered the truth of the old song, "The Bronx is up and the battery's down."
You know, I like to say that Comden and Green... where, you know, people like them for their songwriting ability and their lyrics. I'm just grateful they had a good sense of direction.
Let's see if we get another caller in. Jerry. Jerry's with us from Fargo, North Dakota.
Hello.
Hey, Jerry.
Hello. I last saw you at Ace Parker's funeral.
Oh, my goodness. He is referring to a wonderful World War II veteran whom I had the privilege of accompanying him when he made his first return to Normandy for the 50th anniversary of D-Day.
Catherine, are you living any fancier now than you were then? As I remember, you were sleeping in the back of a car.
That's right. Well, you know, when you're a reporter, you do what it takes to get the story. And I'm living much more fancily now, if you want to put it that way, but not in much more space.
Oh,
New York apartments are very small.
Yeah, that's right. You're in New York, aren't you?
Yes.
I was thinking of you this morning. Whatever happened to her, I'm listening to the radio, and there you are. Just had to call in and say hi, and congratulations on all your successes.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Jerry, thanks for the call. And finally, before we let you go, Catherine, when in doubt, roast a chicken.
I found, and in fact, you know, I happen to love books with recipes in them, and I have to say there is a great recipe for roast chicken in Leap Days. I was so lonely sometimes. It was the way I got myself out of depression was to roast a chicken.
Catherine Landfair joined us from our bureau in New York. Her book is called Leap Days, and Catherine, good luck with it.
Thank you, Neil.
This is Talk of the Nation. You're listening to NPR News.